Welcome back. Wipe that smile off your face. Hip Hop Hump Day.
Hump Day. Public Enemy Edition.
The whole day.
The whole day.
Yeah, my favorite. Anyway, ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. Joining us now, because we have an actual, well, we've had some horse racing going on, but this is a fairly big race. So Gabby Gaudette from TVG is joining us now to talk about it, even though it's not, I've said this, it's not the Belmont. I mean, it's the Belmont, but it's not the Belmont.
It's called the Belmont.
Whatever. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. We hope you are.
Doing very, very well. Things, you know, this year's been weird. It's been weird for us all.
Yeah.
Definitely going to be a weird Belmont as well. But just happy, you know, that we're back racing again. And it's definitely, it's nice to at least be able to run these races, guys.
You know, we've been having this discussion for a little while, actually, since they announced the schedule change and the distance change and all that stuff. Sean is an Eclipse Award winning producer with, you know, for horse racing. So I'm just a guy who happens to have grown up 20 minutes from Belmont, you know, and I was there a couple of times. That's the extent of my horse racing knowledge. But this is not, I don't even think you can call it the Triple Crown this year. Because of all this stuff.
We're calling it a Triple Crown with an asterisk, right?
Yeah. I guess.
Kind of approaching it. You know, it'll be interesting. I don't know. We're going through uncharted territory right now with so many things, but especially with racing and with the Triple Crown. But, you know, if we, I don't know. I still don't really know how to think of it, especially not only because of the changing of the date, but also obviously the change in distance of the Belmont. Mm-hmm. So I will say, though, my home track, Maryland, Pimlico, if there's a Triple Crown on the line going into the Preakness, that's going to be pretty unique, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think the Preakness has ever been the last race run. I know they've run them out of order a few times, but not since the 1930s, but I'm not sure Preakness has ever been the last one. And I'm pretty certain that a Triple Crown winner has never been crowned at Pimlico. That would be kind of cool.
It would be very cool. Yeah, so I don't know. It is, you know, interesting to think about, but I know that, I think by the time we get to, it'll be interesting to see who winds up running in these races as well. Obviously, if Tis the Law wins the Belmont, talking to Barkley Tagg a long time ago, down when I was still in Florida, probably a week or two after he won the Florida Derby, they're taking it seriously. Said it's still a Triple Crown in his mind. So hopefully, you know, he'll be able to potentially win the Belmont and then go and see what he can do in the Kentucky Derby and then the Preakness. So, you know, I think in a lot of connections' minds, they're still considering it as a Triple Crown.
Now, the Belmont only drew 10 entries, which was, honestly, I was a little surprised that it was such a small field, given that it is the opening race of the Triple Crown. Do you have any indications as to why so few decided to enter the Belmont?
You know, I don't really know. I can only kind of speak to what I know from talking to Barkley Tagg, and, you know, other connections like even Patrick Beancone. I know Barkley, he's always really wanted to run this horse in the Triple Crown races. So obviously he has to tackle the Belmont Stakes first. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see some horses not enter the race, but that said, you know, a lot has changed recently. Obviously the defection of Max Field, I'm pretty sure we probably would have seen him in the Belmont if he hadn't been injured. So yeah, I think a couple of things that are kind of going on, but, you know, the at least Barkley Tag. I mean, I know that he has really wanted to run this horse in the Belmont. So it's an interesting field, though. I think there's a lot going on there. Tis the Law, I think, is, you know, rightly so, the heavy favorite. But it's interesting to see Sola Volante wheel around off such short rest and go into the race. I think it's because Patrick Biancone said, you know, that him coming out of his last race at Gulfstream, he's been doing so well. His energy levels are so good right now. And on top of that, I think the distance helps. You know, I don't think it's going to be too much to ask this horse, you know, off of such short rest. So, yeah.
So the post position draw was, it was this morning. Tis the Law, you said, was the favorite, 6-5, drew the 8 slot. Don't think a lot of winners have come out of that slot, but the one that kind of the favored post position historically is the one where Tap It to Win is. He goes off at 6-1. How do you see this race shaping up? Is it a speed race? Is it a strategic race? How's this going to roll?
All I know is it's not the Belmont. It's not a mile and a half. That's all I know. I'm the old guy on the porch, Gabby, just so you know.
The traditionalist.
Yeah.
Racing fans are traditionalists, I will say, but we have to approach it with an open mind this year.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, the Tis the Law, you know, I think that's a really good post position for him, mm-hmm. because if you remember in the Florida Derby and even in the Holy Bowl, I think the game plan going in was to get this horse out in the clear, because if you go back to the Kentucky Jockey Club, when he had a little bit of a stutter step coming out of the gate and then he was kind of pinned down on the inside, it was a sloppy track, he just kind of resents being in between horses and being caught in that type of position. So I know going into the Florida Derby, Barkley Tag was like, Manny, you have to get this horse out in a clear. I think he's better in that position. So I think an outside type of post position for this horse is actually very ideal. I don't think Barkley would be too pleased with the rail post, because he has had some issues sometimes before breaking. He did not do it in the Florida Derby, but he's done it before in the past in the Champagne and in the Kentucky Jockey Club. So, yeah, I think that's ideal for him. Tap It to Win, you know, I think he's definitely an interesting horse. I wonder how far he can go. I think he's a completely different horse this year, though. I know last year when Mark decided to stretch him out in the Breeders' Maturity, kind of showed speed and faded even in the street sense, but he might be coming back this year, you know, with a different mind. Sometimes those tappets, they can change so much for better or for worse. And I think he's changing for better right now. His last win was ultra impressive. And I think it's got to give them a little bit of confidence considering it was at Belmont too. So, yeah, I think the game plan for him is just going to be to go from the rail. He's got so much speed. That's probably the best way to pull it off, in my opinion.
So this is one full lap around the track. Where is the starting gate going to be for this shorter Belmont? Is it over in the chute?
That's a good question. I don't want to say anything because I'm not confident in answering that.
Okay. Yeah, well, I've been hearing everybody say it's a one turn race, so I assume it's going to be. It's just about got to be somewhere on the backstretch.
Yeah,
which is going to be odd as well to see a Belmont Stakes run with only one turn.
This is what I mean. It invalidates the whole thing. I'm just saying. This is exactly. We don't even know where the starting gate is.
Why are they even running it?
That's right. Just give one of the horses an award. Who cares?
So I know it's pretty early and the post positions came out, but how are you handicapping it so far? Who do you like? Who do you not like?
I have a question. Let's do this a different way.
Okay.
Do you bet, Gabby?
I do.
Okay. Well, this is the kind of stuff I want to know.
There you go.
I mean, you're kind of on the inside here. Not kind of. You are. More than most people. So who do you have any idea who you're going to bet on? It's only Wednesday. Have you made your picks yet?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
Okay.
I definitely have not. I really do like to kind of sit down a couple days out, and I'm a big trip handicapper. So I just like to go back and watch replays after replays after replays. And I like trying to find like the subtleties in some of the races. So I'll sit down within the next couple of days. Obviously, nothing's really posted. I use the Daily Racing Forum. Nothing's been posted right now. So within the you know, next couple of days, I'll sit down and look at the entire card and try to approach it. But I will say, 'tis the law, you know, he looks pretty tough, maybe, and he's got a lot of natural speed too. So I don't really foresee a scenario where Tappet to Win can run, you know, the entire field off their feet. And so, yeah, Tis the Law is going to be very tough, but I wouldn't say that he's going to be my top pick right now because I haven't done the homework yet. I need to do the homework.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's what a true pro does.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do their homework.
You can't say who's going to win the day of the post draw. That's impossible. Not even Jude Feld does that. Jude is my coworker at HRRN.
Okay.
I don't know this field. There are some horses in here, and I've been obviously out of the loop because I haven't been traveling at all to see any of the races, but there's a few horses in here I've not heard of. Four Left and Jungle Runner. I don't know anything about either of those guys.
It's weird. It's definitely a strange field, right? Because there's Tis the Law, right? And then there's Solo Volante, who's the second choice, and Tappet to Win. And then beyond, or in Dr. Post, I think is low on the morning line. I think 5-1. But beyond that, yeah, I think Max Player, Modernist, I'm obviously Farmington Road, very familiar with him training down in South Florida during the winter. So yeah, it's definitely an eclectic field, I would say. But when you look at the main contenders, I think it's kind of a tough race to look beyond the main contenders. Obviously, in my opinion, I think Tis the Law is very good, and he's taken some time, I think, to prove himself too. Like, how good is he really? And in my opinion, he really answered the question in the Florida Derby. He looked like he's been learning a lot. He looks like he's becoming a bit more professional in the afternoon. So he's definitely heading in the right direction. I like Solo Volante though. I've always really liked him too. I think he's going to be the major threat to Tis the Law. You know, his last race was impressive. The only thing is he comes from the clouds, right? I mean, he closes from well off of the pace. So we'll see if he can get that type of setup at Belmont.
Yeah, and he was just in a race like a week ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a Wednesday, June 10th.
Yeah, so a week ago today.
So 7 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, he should be warmed up then.
He should be stretched out and ready, yeah.
That was, you know, and that was a pretty good race. It was a little allowance race, but Solo Volante was in, obviously he won the race, but Chivalry, Etienne Beyond, the other horse that Patrick Beancone has. So, you know, it wasn't really an easy field. And in my opinion, he won, you know, very, very easily. So, and it's good to see Luca Panici get the opportunity to ride in the Belmont Stakes. He's going to be back aboard. I don't know if you've been following, but it's been a tough couple of months for Luca. I think he's a very, very good rider, and he's done a lot of work in the mornings with Solo Volante and Etienne Beyond, both of Patrick's horses, just developing them and getting them to relax and be professional for the afternoon. And in the last 6 months, I think he has been sidelined 3 times due to different types of injuries, most recently broken ribs. But he broke his hand earlier, maybe like close to 6 months ago. So he's been, you know, on and off the bench for the past 6 months. And it's good to, you know, see Patrick provide an opportunity for him to stick with this horse and go up to the Belmont.
This is a good underdog story. I like those. By the way, before we let you go, the starting gate will be positioned in the far corner of the sprawling track.
The far,
whatever that means to the two of you. I'm just saying. Well, that's here. I'm looking. You can't see this, Gabby, but here's the oval, Sean, and that's the far corner over there. It's like, you know, the square circle in boxing. I mean, yeah, figure it out.
They're on the backside. There's a straight that runs back off the there oval. You go. They're on the backside. Okay.
Thanks, Gabby. You're so great. It's great to talk to you again, and we'll wait and see what happens. Obviously, in this, whatever they're calling it, the Belmont Stakes, whatever, you know. And maybe
we got to make you a believer at some point.
Well, I'm really glad they're running the race. As I said, I grew up next door to that track. I mean, but, you know, to me, it's a mile and an eighth, and it's the first instead of the last. And it's like every other sport. We have to say, okay, that was 2020. I just can't. I can't get myself to believe that this Triple Crown, if it happens, if you say the Triple Crown winner, it's I guess with an asterisk, but it's very different.
Matthew's just upset because a couple of years ago he did a big voiceover about how tough the final furlong of the Belmont Stakes is for HRRN.
I did.
And now it means nothing because the final furlong's nothing anymore.
They don't even have the final furlong anymore. Okay. Anyway. But you can keep trying. Hopefully we can talk to you again maybe after the Belmont as we get ready for... What's next? Well, the Derby?
We got Keeneland coming in mid-July.
We'll definitely talk to you during Keeneland. Okay.
Very excited about that.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a cool meet.
Maybe you can come in and join us in the studio.
Yeah, I would love that.
That would be great.
Anytime, any opportunity to talk racing, I'm game for.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thanks so much, Gabby. Take care.
Thank you, guys. You as well.
Okay. Gabby Gaudette, TVG. She's cool.
Yeah.
We like our
on TVG. That's an institution around here.
Yeah,
if you don't have TVG on your cable
there's
package,
then there's something wrong. No, yeah, come on, everybody knows that. Anyway, all right. Great job with Public Enemy today. Sean and I will be back tomorrow. It's one day closer to Jimmy getting married. I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
Makes
for
sense.
Bree. Have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow.
Red's Hot Stove. Keep it here.
Red's Hot Stove coming right up. This is The Drive on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and in Georgetown. Just watch me go.